This. Again, welcome everyone to this week's game chat, where we are discussing the last like two people that you help, and then the very end of Raccoon. Who cried?
I cried for probably like 45 minutes.
Shed a tear.
Okay. All right. That's good. It's good.
Well, the I can never pronounce his name correctly. The Japanese guy there.
Kisaburo.
Mhm.
Like his story just killed me at the end.
That one was the hardest.
Yeah. Like that was just really, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, he doesn't have dementia, but he's got the brain tumor that kind of makes him act like he has dementia, and so that's a lot of my patient population is in that.
Was it a brain tumor? Because I didn't even pick up on that. I thought it was just dementia.
It was on one of the little, a clipboard in his room.
Okay.
But then, my husband and I, we dated for 6 years, and then we've been married for 6 years after that. So that does probably, at least with Gemma and the Carpenter Liebel, I don't remember his name. Winston.
Winston, yeah.
At least with them, you at least got to talk to her, and she was awake in the other world and could hear him, just couldn't communicate. But, there's, absolutely no stuff going through between Kisaburo and Kazuko, so...
Yeah,
just really rough.
Yeah, that one was intense. Yeah. Yeah, the Sue story got me as well.
Mm-hmm.
I have
amazing.
To say.
How did y'all feel about the homeless dude? That's not really homeless.
Uma.
How did y'all feel about Uma's relationship with Sue and how that kind of was told to us? Go ahead.
I was expecting something like that. And once it was revealed... I was kind of happy, that, they got closure, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice because it seemed like the vast majority, well, at least the important characters in the game had some sort of redemption and, final farewell type of thing within the game, so.
Yeah. I guess maybe I missed something or was oblivious at some point because I really kind of felt like that his relationship with Sue was just kind of like, we need Uma to tie back into somebody and we have an opening for Sue's dad, so.
There was no hints at it at all. Uma was helping everybody, so you didn't really get the impression that there was anybody he was particularly interested in.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was neat how, when he finally got, I need to open up a walkthrough because I can't remember anybody's name. He finally got the dog back to Sue. Poochie. Sue had been half shaded, and then she got completely shaded when the dog got back to her, and then Uma faded to half shaded. So that was really
interesting.
Visually intense for me in a way I wasn't expecting. But I still didn't. I didn't understand kind of how it just felt like a little bit.
Well, to me, it felt more of like he, I guess, fulfilled his purpose. He was, he basically, I guess, for lack of a better term, you know, atoned for his sins, and because of that, his mission was complete and could then finally just either move on or fade into oblivion, however you want to interpret that, so.
I like that. Yeah. That's a good way to think about it. Did anybody go see Sue back in the hospital once you had...
I was going to, but I think I just kind of wanted the game to...
Yes, I'm done.
Well, yeah, because the dog is there afterwards.
Yes, the dog is in the hospital with her, which made me really happy because when I watched the walkthrough, the guy didn't go back to the hospital, and so I thought that when Sue got completely colored in and then meets the boy and has all those like adventures on all of her planets, that
got
completely colored in because she had passed on, because Poochie was already dead also. So I was really happy when I went back to the hospital and saw that the dog was actually there with her.
Yeah, I went back. Because she... Now, when did it show... Was it after Kissaburo?
I think that one was... No, because Kissaburo was first.
Yes.
Okay. I think you can go... You can go back... before we go through the boys' story.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah. I did get back. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely liked, and I agree with you as far as Umi. I was kind of surprised in a way because, you know, I mean, I knew that they were going to work him in some aspect into someone's, you know, story or, you know, or into the other world. But I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, I agree that it seemed like they kind of threw him in and were just kind of like, well, we need to fit him in somewhere. Let's figure out fit the you know, this guy that's kind of guiding you through it. Mm-hmm. Where we can fit him in, and without having to add more time or more production or like that. So
I didn't get that feeling at all, but I can agree with the way people interpret that because they didn't really flesh it out as well as they could have.
Exactly, and I think if they were going to go for that, if they would have spent just a few more moments in, what's missing is the reunion aspect of it, because it was almost like, you know, Sue saw him. I think didn't they hug, or did they even do that?
No, she didn't even see him. All she saw was Poochie.
Oh, I thought that she saw him.
Mm-mm. He had like a little like, I'm so sorry, blah blah blah, but it seemed almost more like he was like telling us his thoughts as opposed to saying that to her.
Yeah.
If it would have shown him like going to the hospital, you know, or something.
Yeah, I think, you know, it probably would have been better if like you caught him like checking in on Sue.
Yeah,
going in on his room, going in her room.
Exactly.
I would have appreciated like one more moment of foreshadowing.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah, that's a good idea.
It kind of, you know, I was afterwards. I was reading, and I'm like, I'm getting involved, and I don't know if I should just stop and just enjoy the ride that the game was, or there's people debating, well, was the other land really, you know, did it really exist, or was it just all in his head? You know, was Uma in his head? Was all this other, you know, was he just, you know, experiencing these reunions and, you know, working it out through the alternate universe, so to speak? So I was like, yeah, you know what? Nah, don't bother. Just enjoy the ride.
I have a theory about that too. It doesn't explain everything, but if you want to hear it, I'll do it.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the best way I can say it was Uma was, yeah, probably in my mind, he was I don't want to say a tortured ghost, but a soul bound until he, you know, reunited his daughter with her long lost friend.
Yeah, I guess. I can see that. I can see that.
Unfinished business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is your so Madeline, please?
I felt like that the Raku and like the boy and his mom in the book, those were all real, but then like his adventures, I felt like were kind of like the mom and the boy telling stories to each other together, like kind of collectively telling the story about when he would go to his adventures, because like they met, like the people in the hospital, the people they knew in real life, they met in the imaginary world. And there's kind of some stuff in there that the boy might not know about other patients that the mom, from having been in the hospital with him for so long, would probably know a little bit better.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good.
Uma doesn't really fit into that very well. I guess he would kind of be, well, for the first half of the game, he would be like that one kid that had to leave. Like, everybody, he woke up and everyone in his village was gone, and he had to sail across the sea. That was kind of where Uma fit. And then, no, he's Sue's dad. Oh, okay. And I don't really have a good explanation for Mora Zora either within that theory. Because, like, somebody who is powerful enough to grant wishes to, like, help, like, let you move on into the next life. But it also falls asleep when there's too many bad feelings around in the forest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of a loose thread, yeah. Mm-hmm. It is variable how many marbles you collect, I guess, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, so it depends, you know, how many scenes you get with Sue and the boy depends upon how many marbles you collect.
Yeah.
I think I missed one or two.
That's interesting.
I think I just missed the Ramune marble at the end because I didn't go back to see Sue afterwards.
Oh, you don't? Like, that's...
I think it's impossible. Yeah, you can't.
Oh, okay, because he gets the marble and then he's like, oh, I should give this to Sue. So I just assumed that you'd go back and give it to her afterwards.
Well, that's when he falls asleep, like, they go to sleep, and then he wakes up, and he's like, I'm gonna take this marble back to Sue in the hospital right now and not wait for Mom to wake up. And everybody's giving him the sad faces in the hospital. And that's, like, the end of her song that she's singing, now it's time for me to leave. And
that's
the downward spiral.
And then I went to, the festival there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the option to drink the tea and fall asleep immediately, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, you had the option of going back to the hospital. So I assumed that you could give Sue the marble at that point.
I don't think you could go back to the hospital because I tried to go back the way I tried to go back the way we came into the festival, and there is a label there. I don't remember what they said, but basically wouldn't let you go back to any of the doors.
Yeah. I thought that I tried to get back too, but because I tried to go up, like I wasn't trying to go back, but I was trying to like exit out of that forest thing, and I don't think that it let you.
Mm-hmm. So which planets did you get, Frank?
I got them. I can't. Yeah, now I'm thinking about it. I definitely got the amber, the you know, the tea room, because I got the
cat and dog bakery,
the cat and dog bakery, and the one with the train.
Uh huh.
So I have to go back and I don't know if there's a way to see which ones you got, which ones you didn't get.
You read, like, the rainbow escalator?
No, the rainbow escalator.
I don't know if I got the ramp. That one, nah, I don't know if I got the rainbow escalator.
Oh, that one was fun to see. That one was very fun to see.
And there's, I think, like, a snow planet or something, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's also
there's
the
snow planet.
The planet with the cafe that the cats and dogs run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was a toy. There was one they were riding a train in as well.
Yeah, I think that was the last one.
Yeah, with the toy train.
And then there was an upside down one.
Yes.
Yeah, the upside down cafe.
Yep. Got that.
Yeah.
I was really, I kept trying to go back after, you know, she leaves you the jar and the note. I guess the note was the song. Because I kept trying to read the note and I couldn't read the note. That she left with the jar.
Oh yeah, I think that was basically this one.
I put here. I'll post it. I forgot the. Hold on.
I cried like a child during.
Yeah, the Sue one was pretty tough.
Yeah, when he went back to the room and as soon as she walked out of the room and people started giving you sad faces, I was like, oh no, like, cause no one would talk to you. No one talks to you. Cause mm-hmm. I was trying to talk to everyone and they were all like dot, dot, dot. And I was like, oh no. Oh no. And sure enough. Yeah. And like, I think it's after. It shows them going to all, or, you know, and it shows, like, the empty bed. Like, that's where the song ends, is on the empty bed. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I was just, like, tears streaming down my face. it was horrible. It was horrible.
Yeah, all during that montage, I'm like, which one's going to go? One of them's going to go. I don't know which one.
Figured it was her because I figured that he would still have like stuff too. Oh my goodness. Yeah, that was rough. That was very rough. Oh man. Very well done. It was a very touching scene, and I think it was the most sentimental they could have made that scene. I did. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it was really gut-wrenching.
Okay, I found the list of marbles.
Yes.
So there's the, so you can get the Tiny Planets achievement if you get them all. It was the Cat's Eye Marble, which was the, I believe the one with the cats and dogs in the cafe.
Right.
Yeah.
The Amber Marble. Was that the upside down tea room?
Maybe.
Yeah,
there's the one where there's a big tree. Yeah.
There's the rainbow marble. The flower marble.
Oh yeah.
And it looks like the celestial marble. Or was the rainbow marble the one where was the toy store?
Yeah, Rainbow Toyland.
Yeah.
I think that was that one.
Wow. So I think I got all of them.
I think so.
I think I missed one. I can't remember which one.
That's but awesome.
And then also, there's a ton of stuff you can put in that lounge.
Yes.
Oh, no. No, I forgot about the lounge.
Did you put anything in the lounge?
No, I only put the jukebox.
Oh, my lord.
But at least you put something in there.
Did you...
It was... You forgot.
Oh, I did get all the marbles. Okay. Did you get the frog?
I got a frog.
I didn't get the frog.
I got a cat. I got an owl.
Where was
what do you
the
mean?
Owl?
Where did you get the these owl. Animals?
The owl, I found the Legal Protection Agency.
Yeah, for somehow I totally messed up the Weeble Protection Agency.
I never even dealt with that at all.
I would never have found it if I hadn't watched a walkthrough, because the dude on the walkthrough was like, can I go down the well? And I was like, why would you? Oh, you can go down the well. Okay. So I went down the well, and some of them are connected. And once you get the pickaxe, you can go back down and take out some of those rocks and take a little trail, and you pop up somewhere else and you meet the Leeble Protection Agency, which is like all of their testers. Oh, basically, each got a little Leeble, and one of them will give you an owl.
Oh,
one of them gave me something else. I don't remember. Yeah.
So where did the...
The frog was in the cave where you had to you had to break up the rocks. In the area where I think where you got the pig.
Pretty close to.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think I don't.
So was that all the animals? Was the frog, the cat, and the owl?
All the live animals.
Okay.
The ones that I know about. But I put so much stuff in there. Surprised there's room for patience.
Oh, so the animals went into the playroom?
Yeah, went into the lounge. Yep.
Okay.
The jukebox, and then I think I got 3 out of the 5 CDs.
I feel so bad.
Did you,
I feel so bad.
Did you, help the bad attitude? I mean, from having a bad attitude?
Yes.
Will you step on the mushrooms?
Yeah, the badge.
But I didn't get 100% on that. I think you had to get to a certain number, I think I wrote for. You had to get like 20, a plus 20 on your mushroom rating.
Yeah, okay.
And he gives you something. Yeah, I forget what he gives you.
Is that like a Charlie Brown tree in the middle of the playroom?
Yep. I think you get the tree at the fair, at the Starlight thing.
Awesome. Oh my god.
There was like 3 or 4 items you could buy at the Starlight thing from the booth.
Dang it. No,
I think you get the tree earlier on.
Okay.
But yeah, you could also buy a whole bunch of stuff, like a gold. Ooh, I lied. There's another animal. You can get a goldfish.
Yeah, the goldfish I got.
The goldfish is right there. That was the Starlight thing. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Oh,
that's really cool.
So you had to keep trying to play the game at the Starlight to get the goldfish.
I gave up after two tries. I tried that thing about 7 times and got nothing.
I got it on the first try.
And I was like, is this rigged? Like, do I not have a chance of winning and it's just there for fun? And so I just stopped playing. Oh, jeez.
The no holes barred poster you get from the the little guy's room
is amazing. That's awesome. Can we just talk about that whole of taking the tea?
Oh yeah, that was easy. I mean, that was
What's the thing? No, I mean it was easy, but to me, like
it's funny as hell too. Yeah,
I loved that house.
Yeah,
I loved it. Like that was probably one of my favorite parts. Like as far as places going, like that was one of my favorite parts of the game, was going to that house, and it was just insane. It was crazy, and I loved I loved little Buds. How he started copying an attitude and just putting on sunglasses. Yes. And then the apple that was trying to pass himself as a bud, off. Yeah.
So shady.
As a bud. And it's so funny because you're talking to someone over in one of the rooms when you're like asking people about tea. Keep talking to some people, they'll give you like these little like tidbits of information. And this one woman was like, and the apple was right there, but you couldn't get to him. Like, he was behind, like, he was in an area inaccessible. And this woman was like, have you seen an apple that's, like, that's dressed up as a bud walking around here serving people? Mm-hmm. And the woman's like, don't be silly. Like, it's not, like, that's not a, like, he's a bud. He's not an apple. They wouldn't have apples here. Yeah. And then you see the apple. I died. You see the apple, like, he's out in the open.
Yes!
And then all of a sudden, he starts moving behind a pillar.
Oh, so great!
And he just painted himself pink, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you talk to him later, and you're like, is that paint? And he's like, no, I don't remember what excuse he gave.
He's like, I put lotion on my this morning. Yes.
It's lotion. Absolutely. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. Like I wanted to, like, keep it going. Like, I wanted to be, like follow him to his room or...
Yeah. I just loved, though, how...
You know, and, like, see him, like...
I loved how the little bud that was helping you was claiming that you were cousins.
Yes!
Sugar baby.
Yeah, sugar baby.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like, this is my cousin. And the other bud, his manager, is like, he like narrows his eyes and he's like, cousins. Where's that? Oh my gosh. I loved that whole house. Like, that whole house was just amazing.
It was sort of like an homage to Alice in Wonderland, kind of. With the whole servant tea. And
It was great. And then there's two old ladies you talk to, and you find out that one of them actually dated the, what's his name?
Yes, Monsieur Bud.
Yes, until he got too big.
Yeah, until he got too big and he couldn't see her.
He couldn't hear her.
And hear that her, that's the end of that relationship.
Yeah,
that was the end of that. The first time I saw Monsieur Bud, I was like, because I thought the guy with the wig was Monsieur Bud, but then, you know, you meet the real Monsieur Bud, and he's like the size of three houses.
Yeah.
No, he is the size of one refrigerator.
Yeah, one big refrigerator.
Yes, that was great. And
I was dreading that, because it's like, I'm collecting these clues, like, oh, maybe it's the little kid. Oh, maybe it's, you know, it's the lady who has the grudge against Monsieur Bud. You know, and it's like, and then all the rest, at the very, it's actually Monsieur Bud himself in the fridge.
Yeah, that was perfect. It was perfect. And then, so going through the house, I was, like, looking at everything. And I was looking at the paintings on the wall. And there's one painting that was in a few rooms that was of Monsieur Bud looking at a lighthouse in the distance.
Yes!
And you look at the painting, and you read and you press the action button, and it says something like he's watching two people dance in a lighthouse. My first reaction was, boom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading, like, in a couple of, like, message boards, and it is, like, it's an homage to the Moon, because she worked on that project.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
So that was really cool. I really enjoyed that. I was like, oh my gosh, that has to be it. Yeah. So, that was my favorite area.
Yeah. I couldn't tell during the walkthrough I watched what the picture was of Monsieur Bud that little buds kept putting up on the wall. But I could see it this time on my monitor. I was like, that's a little bit rude.
Perfect is what it was. Perfect. Little Buds was sowing his wild oats, man. It was great. The servant guy saw it. Like, he walked out, and it was really funny, because, like, the guy, the servant manager saw it, and he blew his wig, you know, and he just goes crazy.
He flipped his lid.
He flipped his lid, his wig blows off into the air. And as I was standing there after the guy left, I was looking at something, and one of the servants actually, like, I'm guessing they were programmed to do this, like, actually, like, walked directly over to the picture and looked at it.
Yes!
And then, like, oh my gosh, it was great. Oh my gosh, yeah. But, I am struggling Maybe you guys can help me remember. I'm struggling, like, how did Kisaburo's story end? Like, you, like, he remembered her, right? Like, he remembered his wife eventually. Room, right?
Yeah, so from what I can remember, he was basically doing all this stuff for his wife. She didn't think that he knew she was around, but he just wasn't really, like, talking to her.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering that correctly.
Okay. Because, okay, so he had the flowers in the, like, in the real world. He had the flowers in the other room.
Yeah, and that's why he was digging to plant the flowers.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I cried there, too.
Yes. But, oh, man. When she would come into his room in the real world, he would be like, are you here for the night shift? Like, are you new? Think that she was, like, back in whenever when he was younger, like, that she was going to be his relief. But he knew, like, I have a wife and I have to stop taking away my tools. I need to send this message to her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's right. And it showed the whole story of him becoming that way. Yeah, that was rough. That was rough. That was a rough one.
And I was kind of curious if he was supposed to look a little bit more like Kazuko in the Rakuen world originally, like before he got sick, and if he would look like the thing from the Black Lagoon afterwards, like that was his manifestation there, or if that's like what they looked like when they got together in the Rakuen world.
He was quite the sight.
I was running around. If you went back to the plant room, if I think you could, either there's a note there or a book there or the plant. If you clicked on it, it said message sent.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you read it before, Franco? It talks about, like, he says he something like I have to
get a message. Yeah, yeah.
I have to get a message through, and then message sent. Yeah, yeah. I saw that. I was like, oh my gosh. I think I teared up again at that moment. I was still recovering, and then another teardrop. But oh my gosh, good stuff, good stuff.
So then we have the fifth song, the final story.
Oh man, that was. That was very interesting. I want to say this off the bat. I mean, even though I really liked the ending, I kind of was thinking it was going to go a little bit darker. Mm-hmm. Especially like when he turned into a, you know, Yumi was there.
Mm-hmm.
The boy turns into one of those spirit creatures.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, this is going to get, like, you know, kind of dark. This is going to, like, you know, it's going to show, like, because then you kind of start realizing, okay, Yumi, especially with what Yumi was saying about, you know, you could kind of tell, well, this is, you know, that Yumi was kind of mirroring what, you know, like the kind of darker thoughts and the doubts and the fears that the boy has. So I did think it was going to go a little bit darker, and I kind of wished it would have went a little bit darker, but I liked the ending as it was as well. So
the envoy.
As soon as she hit the end, it was really like, oh, okay, so that this is really him and like his darker thoughts and everything.
But it was very sweet, like having the mother go into the room, a little annoying to have to keep like going back after he pushed her away like 20 times.
Yeah,
but it was very sweet, you know, that she was trying to talk to him and talk to Yumi, and I think she hugs Yumi, and so and therefore kind of saves the boy.
And when she starts singing that song and she can't do it, and then everyone else shows up and sings with her.
I can't.
That's the moment that I live for in stories.
Yeah.
Is when, like, people show up for you, and you didn't ask for it, and you probably owe them still from other stuff, and they're just like, I'm here because it's the right thing to do, and this is what we're going to do. What do you mean? Like,
yeah.
It was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was like the
ending. I cried for probably 20 minutes.
It was like the ending of Labyrinth.
Yeah. 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 It was tough. It was tough, guys. I never would have expected it from that. I mean, usually moments like that where people like join together and song. I mean, like, I'm a musical person. I like watching musicals, but like, it could have been so cheesy.
Yeah.
Like that moment could have been so cheesy, but I'm guessing it was the buildup, and it was, you know, that, you know, they had that song dispersed earlier,
yeah,
you know, and you heard the different parts, and then all of a sudden, like, she starts singing and she can't continue, and then everyone joins in and they're all singing the different parts that they were singing before, mm-hmm, but for some reason together it makes beautiful song. Mm. I was like, tears are streaming down my face. I'm like,
yeah.
There was a lot of crying in those two and a half hours of playing this final part. Like, it was rough. It wasn't quite as much as when I cry as it wasn't quite as much as what I cried while playing To the Moon. Was pretty close. It was pretty close. And that's what's amazing to me, is that games like this, sprite-based, that are so old school and so just, like, not fancy, mm-hmm, you know, there's no bells and whistles. It's made in like an it's made in RPG Maker, for crying out loud. Yeah. Can make a person feel, and can make a person amazing to me. It's really amazing. And
well, I almost feel too that the like, to me, the overall, like, art style kind of has a bigger emotional impact, because the story is really taking center stage rather than the graphics, mm-hmm, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps you get more engrossed into the story rather than, it's like, ooh, look at all these pretty graphics stuff. So it's,
Because from the beginning, you're kind of already filling in stuff and telling yourself bits of the story that aren't visually displayed to you. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was rough going. It was rough going. But,
yeah, that scene kind of got, it was rough, but it was like, at first I was panicking, because I think I walked back to him like 5 or 6 times, and then the first sing to him popped up, and I'm like, oh, maybe this will help. You know, convince him to stay. And I'm like, no, the sing to him is like the draw the curtain time. Oh my god.
Yeah. Franco, you were dying. Yeah, I think.
But eventually you find out it's a fait accompli, no matter how many times you go back to him. Eventually you have to sing to him.
Oh, yeah. I think, yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure, that's definitely where they were heading it to go. But. Oh, man. And then. Back, and it's really interesting, because, like, I was reading this little thing of, like, just different facts and stuff about the game, and it was talking about, and it kind of worded this in a way that I didn't really consider, that the boy ask someone to Rikuin, or to where, you know, to pass on to stay in Rikuin, which is basically kind of passing on. Because it mentioned in here, which I guess is, I mean, I just didn't think about it, was that with the creature, it could have wished for his cancer to be gone.
Which I was hoping for.
And there wasn't any like laid out limitations of
you can't wish for anything.
Things. You can't wish for this, but you can wish for these things. And so it's interesting to me, I guess maybe because his dad, which that's another thing that was really sad, that whole story about how all of that happened, was that maybe his dad, you know, he wanted to be with his dad, but then like it was just and with Sue, and I guess maybe with his friends that he made in the hospital. That's just an interesting way of thinking about it, because I was just thinking in my head, I was like, oh, well, it's just him dying. Like, it's not really his choice, but I just wasn't considering that he could have wished for his cancer to be gone.
Yeah, which is why I kind of feel like this is a story that they're telling to each other.
Yeah. I mean, that makes more, you know, sense. And, you know, I mean, I was thinking afterwards, it's like, boy, how crushing would it have been if this game gave you a choice then?
Oh,
jeez.
Like, cure my cancer. Some people said in the boards, bring Sue back. Bring your dad back. I'd be like, oh my, you would literally sit at the keyboard for like a week.
I would quit. How do you decide?
I'm not finishing this game. This is it. You know, this is where we stop. I'll just imagine what the ending is going to be like from here. But yeah. No, that's a good point. That's a good point. I think in a way, without really saying it to myself or thinking it to myself, that that's kind of probably how I saw Rikuin as well. It's more like part of the story, part of see that him and his mother were creating together.
Yeah.
Your mother accompanies you, and it's not just the boy taking this journey on, you know, himself. He's imagining it. If it's just in his head and he's imagining it, like that's kind of how you would take it. Like even though you love your mother, and you love, I mean, but granted, he didn't imagine his little brother being there.
Yeah.
You know? And
he went to Rikuin during the day when she would be with him at the hospital.
Exactly.
And not at night.
Exactly. And so, she would go with him and kind of be, and she was kind of a guide with that whole, you know, like when when the boy didn't have the words to say, step in and, you know, and kind of guide the story for him.
My favorite instance of that would be when you're on one of the sky islands and you go into one of the labels is like, yeah, I have a roommate who's a smelly onion and he won't leave.
Yeah.
And he just wants to sit in and play this game with the glow shroom. Yeah. And you go in and the onions like throw in.
They're playing D&D.
Yeah, and he's being all rude and be like, what are you doing in my dungeon? And your mom's like, excuse me? This is like a level 17 warrior, the bearer of this blah 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 sword, and the boy's like,
Exactly. Yeah, it's a good point. And another side note is there were a couple parts, I wish I would have like screenshot them, but like there were a couple parts where like someone would say something really outrageous to the boy. Like in the Skylands, like someone would say something that was like really weird, and he would just, and it would just show the little boy's picture and like dot 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 with like his mouth open, cracking up every time, because he would just look so like, it's such a flabbergasted look of like, But you know, and it's a good point, and it's a good argument that, you know, that this is possibly a story that, you know, that's what the Skylands, what Rikuin is. Tough ending. And I think, gosh, I wish, did I not take like, I don't know. But, like, the whole thing, the whole story of how, of, like, the whole disaster and everything, like, and how, exactly, the hospital, and then, like, the dad dying. And I loved how that was told, and that it showed the mom, like, at home getting the call before back to, like, another part. And that was, it was really cool. I don't remember exactly how they told it, but it was really cool how they told that, how they went back and told that story.
Well, yeah, the Yami falls ill first before the earthquake. And then while she's at the hospital, the earthquake happens.
Yeah, exactly.
And the father, you know, that's when I started to, like, uh-oh. I started to remember the stories of, you know, what happened. And it's like, that's where they're going with the dad, you know. He's going to end up working at the power, you know, the nuclear power plant, which is based on a true story.
Yep. And I don't know if they thought about this, or if it just kind of happened, but the type of lung cancer that the boy would have had because of those meds he was getting, that's, you don't usually, like, I didn't really see that you could get that just spontaneously. You get that because you're exposed to something. Either you have been smoking, or you were exposed to radiation. And that happened before.
Before the disaster.
Before the disaster. So the only way he could have gotten that is, like, they have terrible air quality there, or he was exposed to something from his dad.
Right. Maybe. Yeah.
And, like I said, not everybody thinks about, when they, like, go to tell stories, thinks about all of the biology stuff like I do, but...
It usually just doesn't pop up in kids. That's usually a rare thing for a kid.
That's really interesting. Form. Like, that... And it kind of...
Still there?
Hello. Uh-oh.
Sounds like there's a hamster burrowing into our mic.
I'm back.
Okay. Yay. Everybody was starting to type their messages.
I made the mistake of opening, because I was going to share a picture from my phone that I took while I was playing Rikuen, the last part, but I made the mistake of opening Discord on my phone at the same time I had to open my computer, so it transferred... like, the voice and everything transferred to my phone.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so, anyways, I've done that before, oddly enough. But, whatever was being said, I've completely sidetracked myself.
If the boy has cancer, it's possible he got it from his dad.
Yes! Oh, what I was gonna say is that, and that can also add to the anger... Mm-hmm. That made Yami, you know, personified, mm-hmm. you know, in the hospital. That could also, you know, because maybe he realized that, you know, maybe in a way, like, he might have heard, you know, he realized that, and I don't know, but it meant to his dad, even while he was feeling sad about, you know, him dying, but, you know, mm-hmm. yeah, it's a shame. Kind of thing. Anyone have any other thoughts about the ending to Rikuen?
I just the whole time near the end, I'm like, oh god, they're gonna take his little helmet off and he's gonna be completely bald, and then and then he's bald, and then he turns around and there's like a gumball on top of a body when he turns. It was just really, really weird, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of unexpected by how completely spherical his head is. And
I was going to say, I was holding it together until she took the hat off.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh my god, why don't you just, you know.
And then the tears started coming, but they were because I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Board the Viking boat to Valhalla.
Yeah, which all I could think about was, like, Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Yes. Ship. But, it's a lot of ships going places.
But what's his name was in the crow's nest? They said,
Kisaburo was in the crow's nest.
I didn't see Kisaburo in the crow's nest. I think I saw everybody else.
And then,
was Sue on the boat?
Sue was on the boat.
Yes.
Okay. Uma was on the boat. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if Gucci was on the boat or not. But his dad was on the boat with him, too.
Yeah.
I liked that they did that.
Yeah.
And then the whole, like, the mother getting on with life after... Oh my goodness. Oh man. And then surprise, I did not pick up on the entire story.
No, I totally missed it too.
That he had a little
grandmother
brother.
And the other's brother. I'm like, I totally.
That was there at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. I completely glossed over that.
She said his little brother is staying at his grandmother's house or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, she's here all week to play games and read stories and hang out and everything, so.
Right. I got that. I knew that she had, like, the week off. I'd kind of forgotten, though. But, yeah. And so then when it got to the end and she went and she was, and it showed her going to a house with a little boy that looked a lot like.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
That would be weird.
I was like, what? But then that was the end. Like, it cut to, like, the credits. And I was like, wait a minute. What just happened? But then, like, I was reading something, and they mentioned the little brother. And I was like, oh, that's... I was like, is it trying to...
Is it messing with me?
It wasn't just you. I thought, what? Did she move on? Did she get married? Did she have another kid?
What's happening? She just goes to adopt a kid. Like, hi!
Now, yeah. Chris, I know you were laughing when the kid went bald, but...
that wasn't what he was laughing at right now.
I know you had to be, like, at DEFCON 4 when Sue was left town and they cut to the dog sitting at the tree.
Oh, yeah.
You were at DEFCON 4, I know that.
That was the one, like, tier.
Oh, my God. That was horrible.
Yeah. Honestly, Stanton, like, you were the person that I was thinking of that entire sequence. I was like, Chris is going to love this. This is totally, at least it has a dog. Chris would be very happy about this.
Yeah.
Cats and dogs stealing food.
So funny. I mean, the whole thing, you even got to play a dog.
Yeah, I know. That. Like, that was the thing I loved the most was how, like, how nice and civil the dogs and cats were
you
towards
sound
each
so
other.
Happy.
Yeah. I am. It was fantastic.
They were. It was a very loving community.
Yeah.
It these was, dogs and
it
cats.
It was really surprising and good to see that dogs and cats can get along.
Yeah. Exactly. That's great. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a good story. Or for Sue. She seems so much like an outcast. I was like, I can relate. Like, this is, although I didn't have, like, a best, like, stray dog friend, but...
Did they make fun of you for your marbles stuff?
No, I didn't have... Well, no, I did have marbles, but I didn't carry them around with me in public. I just had some at the house, but...
I didn't show them in public.
Well, that's gauche.
I didn't have my marbles with me. In more ways than one.
Oh.
But, poor little Sue and her dog friend. And then, like, I thought it was, I want to say good, but I guess dynamic or a good storytelling element in that, you know, because I was kind of expecting, like, oh, well, her, like, she's an orphan, or maybe she only has a single parent. But to throw in me, you know, who is like, well, you know, had in like the, you know, you'd hear things like being thrown in the distance, you know, up in her apartment. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I thought that was an interesting dynamic that they threw in.
Yeah.
A varied experience that, you know, he personified in games. You know, it's either it's either both parents are there, or one of them's like has ran away or died. You know, it's not really, mm-hmm. you know, but tough, but interesting to see. Any other thoughts about? Oh, quick thing that I was reading somewhere. This is going back a bit, but I wanted to bring it up. Was that realized that with Gemma and Winston, that was representing like the like. I remember now that it showed like, or it kind of briefly talked about like there were tensions with their family, which is why they couldn't be together. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really realize why. And it was talking about that in Rakuin, two tribes of Leebles that were kind of like each other, and Winston belonged to one, and she and Jimin belonged to another. Well, in the real world, that represented that they were, one was Japanese and one was Korean. Mm-hmm. Naturally, don't get along because of certain things. But I didn't realize that. And so I just thought I'd bring it up in case no one else realized that as well. And dynamic for their story. Catch on when I was first playing through.
Yeah, I mean, I realized that I couldn't figure out who was from Japan and who was from Korea.
Yeah.
I believe Winston was Korean.
Okay, who went to Japan.
Yeah, Winston was Korean, and Jimin was Japanese, but yeah.
Just right. Really, really, I mean, the whole Romeo and Juliet thing all over again.
Yes.
Such a waste. Really.
Yeah.
Such a waste.
Yeah. Yep. For sure. Alrighty. Well, I guess we'll, no one has any more closing thoughts on Rakuin. I will, take everyone's score. You can do point numbers like 9.5, 9.8, 5.4, and, or whole numbers, and just give me your final thoughts and your final grade for the game. Franco, we'll start with you.
Damn it, having the first letter. great story. If you marked on story alone, it's a 12. But, you know, it's... You know, I always went in saying there'd never be a 10, you know, a game. But,
yeah.
As close as you get, 9.5. I mean, just all story, all dialogue. I mean, the maxing out that genre with, you know, this is, and you can tell her inspirations from To the Moon.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, she did music for it, but God, she had to pick up.
I think she did the whole thing. For To the Moon also.
Really? I thought she... Oh, okay.
No, I think she just did the music and stuff. She didn't do...
Just the music?
Everything.
Yeah.
But she definitely picked up the idea, well, I mean, you know, of storytelling using...
For sure.
Yeah, this kind of... Which is tremendous. I mean, obviously, it's probably the two highest rated games we've had. So,
Yeah.
I, you know... Look forward to them doing something else. <And I'm, laughs> I need a break. Can we do, just play something mind-numbing like checkers for a while?
surprise!
To the Moon 2 is
next week.
Coming up soon.
Yeah, you have To the Moon expansion, the prequel coming out soon, Franco. So.
Oh, God. I have to admit, I just finished up like 7:30 and I was like, all right, I bleached that.
You poor guy.
Better Reddit.
Go watch SpongeBob for a few
minutes. Went to Reddit and looked up iBleach. You know what the iBleach is on Reddit? It's all puppies and kittens.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Madeline, you're next. Final score and final thoughts?
I would say a 9. The only reason it wouldn't be 9.5 is just because I work in a hospital, and so it was really hard for me to just, like, forget everything that I know about how that works. But story, so good. Feels, so many. Mm-hmm. Kleenex, not enough. You want something a little bit more sensical than that, though.
Well, hey, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, it's really rare to see a story that tries to really look at all sides of dying, particularly a death that's not, like, okay, as we would see. Like, it's not okay for us to have children die.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's really awesome to see a story that examines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really covers a gamut of kind of emotional topics. You know, as we were talking about just a couple seconds ago, you know, with Sue's parents, or, you know, with the whole Japanese-Korean, you know, rift and how that affects people. Yeah, it really covers a lot of topics, and especially death. Exactly. Chris, you're next.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed the game. Like I said before, I feel like the story was a lot more immersive because of the art style was so minimal. It definitely felt very similar to the Moon in a way, but also was its own thing. The story was engrossing, and you wanted to keep going. I do completely appreciate that they put the hardest level in the game at the very beginning, whereas a lot of games have you coast through the entire game and then just have you hit a brick wall with difficult gameplay mechanics that you've never used in the entire game while you were playing it. So I really how she started off really hard and then made it a lot more easy and enjoyable for the rest of the way through.
True.
You know, the humor was great and everything. I really liked the game. Give it a 9.5 because there was a dog. I'm gonna add an extra 0.1 to it. And then, not only because there was a dog, but you got to play as a dog, I'm adding another 0.1 to it, so 9.7.
Wow, okay, all right. That's good. That's a good grading system.
Yes.
It's a wonderful grading system. Okay, yeah, I'm going to my final score. I think I'll give it a 9.5, and a game that makes me cry for more than 5 minutes deserves a 9 or above, in my opinion. The story was top-notch. As I said, like, it just completely, I'll say it again, completely blows my mind when games this simple, made with RPG Maker, just give you all the feels. You know, it just shows really good story writing aesthetics and good pacing and good characters. Oddly enough, saying that, I do wish we would have found out more about the artist girl and the girl that made the stuffed animals.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, darn it. Anyways.
Well, they're just NPCs, so.
Hey! Archetypes. Yeah, so...
Even the dog got to be a PC.
Exactly! Even the dog was in it, which was important. Just great stories, a great wrap-up. There were parts in it that were just done superbly well. as far as storytelling goes. Like when they said when they went back and told the story about the disaster and about the boy going to the hospital and the dad dying. So 9.5. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Would play again.
One thing keep meaning to bring up. New website design.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah.
So go and check that out if you haven't done so already. We also have a RSS feed now too, so if you like to use any podcast aggregators, you can use the RSS link on the site to stay up to date on updates on when we post the new shows, and also the forum. So
yes,
if you're not able to participate in these chats, head on over to the forum, create an account, and join in the conversation over there. You can also talk about whatever you want, and maybe other games you want to talk about. So
just
go do that.
It might take a day or two for us to approve your your board submission or your account creation, I guess, to where you're activated.
Yeah. So if you do create an account, you can always just comment on any of the posts in game chat saying that you created one, and then one of us can go in there and
approve losers. It.
So
yeah, because otherwise, like, I don't think there's a way. I don't think there's. It doesn't notify us until we log in.
Yeah. I'm trying to work on a way that it would, but I'm not sure if I can, so...
Yeah, which is fine. Hey, we can just, I try to get on every day, but at least once, but, Yeah, all awesome stuff. Wizard Stanton, that's what I'm going to start calling you. just knocking it out of the park with enchantments to game chat. Rising up in the world, like a phoenix.
That was amazing. I was really impressed with the audio getting updated. That was
doesn't it look good? I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Great job.
Yes, accolades. Yeah, all exciting stuff. So next game, I've already announced it in the group, but is Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons. Have you guys played Brothers?
I haven't. I have it on PS3.
Franco, have you played Brothers?
No, I have not. I will be buying and downloading it probably tomorrow.
Have you played it?
I watched a walkthrough of that one.
Okay.
And still cried. So.
I kind of figured from what you were saying. Yeah, sorry guys. I can't help it. Okay, this is just... That's where the story games do. They make you feel things. Mm-hmm. So,
blame it on the rest of game chat because that's what they voted for.
Absolutely. I will say that eventually I do plan, once all the episodes are released, which is only like 3, but they're waiting like 5 or 6 months in between each episode for the new Life is Strange before the storm. Ooh. But once those are all released, I do want to play that here, since our first game for game chat. So, but I will say that I played the first episode and it's good. Have you guys all played it?
I have. Yeah.
I saw a playthrough on it, and I still don't know what choice I would have made at the end.
I have not seen a playthrough or played it. I think I had different feelings than you about this game, the first one, so I'm going to wait until they're all out and kind of see what the collective...
Let me give you... I'll just be very brief, but I wasn't... I liked Life is Strange. I wasn't a hyper fan like the rest of the world seemed to be. Honestly, I found Chloe annoying.
Okay, good. Maybe we had similar feelings.
I found Chloe annoying. So when this was announced, I'm going to be honest, when this was announced, I was kind of disappointed because I just didn't... I was like, I don't know if I want to play three episodes of Chloe because, you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that Before the Storm kind of justifies the way she was acting.
Let me put it this way, and I think I put this as my status one time. You might have saw it. I found her extremely annoying the first game, in the original game. I love her now. And in this stage of her life, I love her. And it definitely puts in perspective how she is in the original Life is Strange. So, yeah. So if you had similar feelings, it's definitely still worth a shot because I love the first episode. And you're Chloe all the time.
Yeah, because I understand that Chloe had to be a little bit annoying because she was basically your Navi telling you this is what you need to be doing right now.
Yeah, she took advantage of Max, though.
Hardcore, yeah. She did. And then I kind of didn't really want to meet Rachel Amber. I liked her better as a symbol in the original game, rather than like meeting her as a person and then understanding who and how she actually was. And then it would make me disbelieve everything that Chloe had told me about in the original game. And then even more regret every decision I ever made in that one. So,
Definitely worth it. Like I said, I loved it. I loved the first episode. Okay. So anyways, sorry. Brothers is our next game. We are going, our first stopping point, guys, is, let me pull it up here. The game is only, 3 hours long, so I'm breaking it up into hour-and-a-half chunks. And point is, it's about an hour, it's about an hour and a half in. It's really difficult to, I'm going to say that you save a guy rope disaster. You're walking. What happens right before this? I'm trying to think. It's not too long after there's a wolf scene where you have a torch. Mm-hmm. Your brother. Or the two brothers. You control them both. But you're walking around with the two brothers. You sleep over in this forest and you use these torches to kind of scare away wolves as you're trying to get from point A to point B. After that, you're walking, not too far after that, you're walking through a forest, and you come across this house, and this guy, I'll just say, he's basically trying to hang himself, so you stop him. That sounds really dark, but that's kind of the game. So,
this is par for the course.
It's really par for the course, I'll just say that it's kind of a random place in the game. It's not really explained, but yeah. So you come across a guy. He's at his house. He's trying to hang himself up in the fort, and you cut him down before he's able to. And that's the first stopping point. That's the worst description for a first stopping point I think I've ever had. And
I think it's pretty specific. It just may be inopportune.
It's it doesn't really give away anything in the story, though. I mean, as I said, it's a very kind of random point in everything,
Are we taking a break after Brothers?
Are you wanting to take a break after Brothers?
So it's just New York is going to be the week after we finish that game.
Let Frank watch some more
Yeah, we'll probably take a week. Yeah, we'll probably take a take the, because Brothers will be the 26th and the 3rd, and then probably on the 10th, on October the 10th, we probably won't have it. So we'll break on October the 10th, but then we'll reconvene on the 17th.
Okay.
I'm good for the rest of the month.
Yeah. I was just wondering about, because I
know that's a good point.
I know we're not going to have time to play any games, at least for game chat, at least. So,
yeah, yeah. So definitely the October the 10th, we won't have game chat, but Brothers will last for 2 weeks up until the 3rd. The 17th we'll reconvene for, I'm thinking, maybe season 2 of, for October, to kind of something a little scary. But I also might put a thing up in the group, seeing if anyone has any like suggestions for October games, something kind of, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if you Halloween, wanted,
like,
oh, that would just be pretty short. If you wanted to do that,
text-based one.
Yeah, that one is creepy.
But the text-based one?
Let me pull it up here.
I can't think of what it
is. The Stories Untold.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, that one. That just took me 3 hours to do the whole thing, so that, I don't know if you would want to do that
one. I might actually look at that. Yeah.
But there's 4 different bits, so they would be pretty distinct.
Okay.
Start stops.
That's a good idea. Okay. Awesome. Alrighty, guys, I'll let you go. Went over a little bit. Thank you for stopping in this week, and next week we'll be discussing the first part of Brothers.
Yay.
Sounds
great.
Adios. Have a good weekend.
Yep.
Bye, friends.
Good night.